Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. Arlene Foster says she's stepping down as DUP leader at the end of May and will remain First Minister until the end of June, at which point she will step down. She says, serving the people of Northern Ireland has been the privilege of her life. Ministers are meeting this evening in Dublin to discuss how quickly the hospitality sector can open. There's been speculation in political circles that outdoor pubs could open as early as the last week in May. We'll have the latest speculation. It's been revealed an ambulance took over an hour and 38 minutes to respond to an emergency call in Donegal. That's over five times the HSC's target of 19 minutes. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Oisin. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with confirmation in the past hour that Arlene Foster is stepping down as DUP leader and Northern Ireland's First Minister. It follows calls from within her party for a leadership contest. She'll step away from the top job in the DUP on May 28th and will remain First Minister until the end of June. In a statement, Mrs. Foster says serving the people of Northern Ireland has been the privilege of her life. She also acknowledges the difficult issues that have been faced in recent times.
The protocol being foisted upon Northern Ireland against the will of unionists has served to destabilise Northern Ireland in more recent times. And whilst there is still a job of work to do, I am proud that there is a young generation of democratic unionists getting involved in politics and trying to shape Northern Ireland for the better.
Belfast-based journalist Amanda Ferguson says Arlene Foster made history by becoming the first woman to lead the party. However, she had to try and satisfy different factions within the DUP.
At times she's made gaffes. I think everybody remembers the infamous crocodile comments. If you feed a crocodile, they'll keep coming back for more. And I think very much she's been a victim of being torn between different factions within her own party. Some people perhaps of the more evangelical right side of the party, conflicted with those who perhaps have more progressive views, and certainly the impact of Brexit has been hugely damaging.
Well, Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill says she's worked alongside Arlene Foster for this past year in what's been a very difficult and challenging time for everyone because of the unexpected onset of the COVID pandemic. She acknowledges the efforts Arlene Foster has made as First Minister and the service that she gave in working with the rest of the executive as they battled the biggest health crisis in a generation. Ms O'Neill says it's now a matter for the DUP to choose a replacement, adding that the incoming DUP leader should recognise that the political landscape across the island of Ireland has changed. Here, ministers meet this evening to discuss how quickly the hospitality sector can reopen. There's been speculation in political circles that outdoor pubs could open as early as the last week in May. With more, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
Among the proposals to be considered by senior ministers tonight is a move to allow pubs and restaurants to serve outdoors from the 24th of May. It would allow the likes of beer gardens and terraces to return in less than a month, but the proposal is far from certain, with some sources in government saying they expect it to be June before there is a return for the hospitality sector. It's already been signalled that hotels and B&Bs will be looked at for June. The inter-county travel ban should also be lifted that month. Minister Eamon Ryan has also signalled the end of the €9 substantial meal when pubs and restaurants do reopen.
It was kind of a false kind of division. I think it will start outdoors because it's much safer. I don't think it'll be whether it's to fight between food or not. Outdoors versus indoors will be the difference.
All this will be considered at the Cabinet Subcommittee tonight, along with the easing of restrictions for May, which will include the return of retail, barbers, hairdressers, beauticians, museums, libraries, commercial construction and outdoor sports training for adults.
The Wundonagall councillor says the government has scored a major own goal in its recently announced scheme to help bars and restaurants reopen in an outdoor setting. Up to €4,000 is being made available through the scheme, which is being administered by local authorities. However, Councillor Micheál Cullum-Galasbuig says conditions attached to the scheme include requirements that applicants submit architectural drawings and planning documents. He says the government hasn't thought this through.
Some of the hospitality sector, so this is encouraging news that there was grant available, but talking with planners, unfortunately, those that serve food will have to also not alone look to go to architects, but they'll have to go for planning as well. This is going to put more time restriction on us here. The delay in itself in securing an architect, so that process of the planning, which generally takes 6 to 8 weeks. So the government clearly hasn't thought this through. If this is the way it seems to be, that the hospitality sector has been let down desperately.
And it would appear on the face of it that if you're going to be applying for planning permission, taking in an architect and going through all the bureaucratic hoops that that entails, there's not going to be a huge amount of change left out of €4,000 in order to actually buy the pods and develop the facility.
No, it doesn't. So at the end of it, you're going to be left with very little, and some had suggested to me that they're not even going to bother now to apply first, because by the time they apply, by the time they get the design and architecture done and the submission done, and then at the end of it, it'll be left. The country is awash with absolute red tape. The government should have known that this is the process, and the government should have put in proper place what makes it easier for the hospitality business to open in everybody's interest, and everybody's interest, staff as well. But unfortunately, it looks like they just haven't got their feet on the ground. And that's not a decision that was made by Donegal County Council, but this is a decision that was made by the Dublin government.
Well, in answers to questions from Highland Radio News, Donegal County County Council told us today that proposals for pods, dining facilities and so on that are in private commercial property are likely to require planning permission. In such cases, the council says prospective applicants are being advised to consult with the planning service on a pre-planning basis, so that specific advice can be provided based on the individual circumstances of the site. 98 people tested positive for coronavirus in Northern Ireland over the course of the past 24 hours, with one additional COVID-related death there. There were 312 new COVID outbreaks across the Republic last week. That's an increase of 62. Most of the clusters occurred in private homes, with 172 outbreaks. That's up 26 on the previous week. There were 31 outbreaks in school settings. That was up 26 on the week before. Well, one of the schools dealing with an outbreak is Loretto Community School in Milford. It's been confirmed a third year class and the entire transition year group are self-isolating because of a COVID outbreak at the school. Since Easter, 10 positive cases have been confirmed within the school. In a statement, it was confirmed today that of the 70 close contacts tested, all returned negative test results to date. The school stated students were asked to isolate in the interest of the whole school community, and in particular, Leaving Cert students. It's been revealed that an ambulance took over an hour and 38 minutes to respond to an emergency call in Donegal. That's over five times the HSE's response target of 19 minutes. It's led to renewed calls for a review of the current model used by the National Ambulance Service. HSE figures show ambulances across the country took over an hour to arrive at a life-threatening emergency call 282 times between July and December in 2020. Regional Health Forum West member Councillor Kieran Brogan says the current model used by the National Ambulance Service is simply not suitable for the North West.
Very disappointing, because this is an issue that I and my colleagues, particularly Councillor Jerry Crawford, have raised on many occasions at the Regional Health Forum. We have always said that the model that they have in place, the National Ambulance Service, is not suited to the North West, and in particular to Donegal, because of the geographical spread. I think they have a responsibility to come and make a presentation to us as Regional Health Forum members, and that's something I'll be asking for, because if they can't give us an explanation for this and the lack of response times, I think it's time that we as Health Forum members look for an independent review of the ambulance service as a whole, because if it's not meeting the needs of the patients, of those most in need, then we need to look at it as a matter of urgency. One can only imagine waiting 10 minutes for an ambulance is a very, very serious situation. If one has to wait for an hour and 38 minutes, then that's terrible, really. And I have to commend the people at the Coalface Ambulance Service, the drivers and the people on the front line. This is not their fault. This is not their responsibility. This is the very highest levels of the management of the National Ambulance Service. They have to take full responsibility.
And the geographical makeup of the county has been cited as a reason for some delays in cases, but that's simply not good enough.
Absolutely not. And what's wrong is like a lot of the programmes and systems that we see introduced in this island of Ireland, they come from an English model where there's motorways and where the road network is much more superior to what it is here in the Northwest. So what works in a computer sitting in an office in Dublin doesn't work in the Northwest when you get down to real times and the real transport journey of making that destination. So I think people need to get real, people need to wake up, and people need to take responsibility for the role that they're in.
And that was Councillor Kieran Brogan speaking there to Michaela Clark. Opposition TDs are criticising the government over what they claim is the ramming through of the National Marine Planning Framework. TDs say just 55 minutes has been set aside for a debate tomorrow, and that's just not enough. Donegal TD Patrick McLaughlin was first to raise the issue in the Dáil sitting in the Convention Centre today.
This is a major planning framework. It has legal consequences for our coastal communities, the inshore fishermen, the environmental NGOs. A range of organisations wanted to come into the Oireachtas Committee to have their say in this. Rather than facilitate that through the Oireachtas Committee, you're going to ram this through with 5 minutes from each opposition party. It's completely wrong. So I appeal to you to put this back for another week to allow proper consultation.
Well, responding, Taoiseach Micheál Martin said this is a plan which is required by the EU and was 4 years in the making with public consultations up and down the country going back to 2018. He rejected claims that this is being rushed and said it's time for action.
It's a comprehensive plan, and it's a plan that we should move on with to protect our marine resources, to create a proper context for what goes on in terms of our marine territory and resource. There have been regional public events have been held on the MMPF as far back as 2018. 5 regional public events, a further 8 events, seven of them held in coastal locations throughout the country. So the idea that people haven't been consulted is not true.
Well, there's a warning that up to 2,000 jobs could be lost in the fishing sector because of the impact of the post-Brexit trade deal. The agreement between the EU and UK kicked in from January, but it's now been overwhelmingly backed in a vote by the European Parliament. Under the terms of the deal, the EU's share of fish caught in British waters will be reduced by a quarter over 5 years. Sean O'Donoghue is CEO of the Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation. He says there may be major job losses if countries don't share the burden.
We have about 16,100 people employed right around the coast, both directly and indirectly in the fishing and processing and ancillary industries. I could see that we could lose up to 1,500 to 2,000 of those jobs.
Well, the European Commission President says faithful implementation of the EU-UK trade deal by both sides is essential. Ursula von der Leyen's comments come after MEPs overwhelmingly backed that post-Brexit trade deal in a vote. The agreement, which came into effect in January, has already been divisive, especially over new trading rules for Northern Ireland. Daryl McLaughlin from the Ulster Farmers Union says the movement of cattle between Great Britain and Northern Ireland has significantly been affected.
For the 2019 year from GB to Northern Ireland was 3,304, and for 2020 this figure was 3,882, and for the first 3 months of 2021 that figure has been 480.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by michaelmurphysports.ie. Shop 24/7 with nationwide next day delivery.
Quarter past five, we say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with badminton. The European Championships continued today for the McGee family. Sam and Chloe McGee, who are the 7th seeds in the competition, won their opening mixed doubles match over 3 sets against a Dutch pairing. They won the first 21-14, lost the second 21-19, but then battled back to win the decisive third 21-14 and move on to the last 16. Rachel Darrow was also one of the first in court this morning, but unfortunately, she and her partner, a mixed doubles partner that is, Paul Reynolds, lost their last 32 round a match in 2 sets, going down to a French pair, 21-17, 21-16. Rachel's back in court shortly for her women's singles match with Israel's Kasina Polikarpova. To soccer, Paris Saint-Germain and Manchester City have yet to taste Champions League success. Both the clubs have reached the semi-final stage and they'll meet tonight in Paris with the first leg underway at 8 o'clock. This match will renew the rivalry between two managers, City's Pep Guardiola and PSG's Mauricio Pochettino. 2 years ago, Pochettino's Spurs knocked Guardiola's team out of the competition, but the Argentine says it's not about personalities.
It's not a personal game. It's Paris Saint-Germain against Manchester City. It's going to be a battle in between two very good teams. I admire a lot Pep, all that he's doing in his career. But for me, it's a game that in between two big clubs.
Well, the French club's attack is led by the world's two most expensive players in Neymar and Kylian Mbappe. And Pep Guardiola admits that they are a huge threat.
We know we are going to suffer in both games and they are going to have chance. So I know the weapons they have up front. So every single person who lost football managers, football players, journalists, pundits, everybody knows the quality they have.
Former Manchester United winger Ryan Giggs has pleaded not guilty to assaulting two women. The current Wales national team manager spoke only to confirm his name, address and enter his pleas at the hearing earlier today. He's been released on bail and is due back at Manchester Crown Court on May the 26th. Spotify founder Daniel Eake says he's very serious about launching a bid to buy Arsenal. Current owner Stan Kroenke has reiterated that he has no plans to sell any stake. But the Swedish billionaire has told CNBC he secured funds which make up a very compelling offer.
I've been an Arsenal fan since I was 8 years old. I love the history, I love the players, and of course, I love the fans. So as I look at that, I just see a tremendous opportunity to set a real vision for the club, to bring it back to its glory.
Well, Arsenal legends Dennis Bergkamp, Thierry Henry and Patrick Vieira are all reported to be involved in that project as well. On the snooker front, Stuart Bingham's won five frames in a row to move to the brink of a World Championship semi-final. The 2015 Crucible champion leads Anthony McGill 12 frames to 10. The eventual winner will play Mark Selby in the semis. The world number four wrapped up a 13-3 victory over Mark Williams this morning. On the other table, Sean Murphy has moved into an 8-6 lead against world number one Judd Trump. Kieran Wilson awaits the winner there after last year's beaten finalist saw off Neil Robertson 13-8. Ireland will begin next year's Six Nations at home to Wales. Organisers have confirmed the fixtures for 2022, with the tournament beginning on Saturday, February the 5th. A week later, there's a trip to France, with Italy visiting the Aviva on the final Sunday in February. Andy Farrell's side will be at Twickenham to play England on the 12th of March, with Scotland coming to Dublin a week later. Former Ulster winger Tommy Seymour has announced his retirement from professional rugby. The 32-year-old ex-Scotland international and British and Irish Lion won a Pro 12 title with Glasgow after his departure from the Northern Province. There's a small field for this evening's Gold Cup at Punchestown, but one that is packed with stars. The Willie Mullins trained album photo is set to go off as favourite in the absence of the injured Cheltenham Gold Cup winner Manella Indo. That one goes to post at 5-6. And finally, athletes competing at the Tokyo Olympics and Paralympic Games will be tested every day for COVID-19. They'll all need to return two negative results before travelling to Japan as well. Anyone else involved in the games will be tested regularly. Organisers say they'll decide in June how full venues can be, having already announced no spectators from overseas attending. That's your sport for today, Donal. We'll be back with more tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Washing. The entire leadership of Sinn Féin in Derry has reportedly been asked to stand aside. Multiple sources within the party are said to have confirmed a number of individuals in the Derry Coirle Cantar were stood aside last week after a long investigation into the local group regarding election performance and governments with a heavy emphasis on elections. In the most recent local elections for Derry City and Strabane District Council, Sinn Féin lost five seats and its position as the largest party. The then MP Alicia McCallion then lost the Foyle seat to the SDLP's Colm Eastwood. Ms McCallion was later appointed to the Shannon but stood down after it emerged she'd received a COVID-19 grant for which she was ineligible. Work is due to recommence on the Goodore sewage scheme. Irish Water has confirmed works as part of the demonstration project element of the scheme will restart in June. It'll involve the installation of pods at 40 properties with the collected wastewater being treated at the existing Uddrisnagulathe wastewater treatment plant. It's hoped the project will solve the problem of inadequate sewage treatment in Goodore, its over-reliance on the use of septic tank systems, and also improve water quality in Goodore Bay. Local councillor Michael McClafferty says this is a welcome announcement, but he says further investment in West Donegal is now vital.
Hopefully, now into the time ahead, the future ahead, or certainly the next couple of years anyway, that the same commitment will carry on then through the towns like Kilkerry and Fanning, someone also where their plants need to be upgraded as well, and you treat the plants got many small towns through the county to be fair. Kilkerry has last talked about, was mentioned 0809 around that time, was mentioned earmarked. And then for one reason or another, it fell through the cracks. I suppose the recession come, country got into a bad state, didn't help things. But we're hoping now again, I've asked now again a couple of times for talks to restart again, and we're waiting word back from Motion to Well and the council there for the last glimpse meeting from here as well. So hopefully, as I say, this will keep on, this good news will continue on now to other towns as well. But in the meantime, we're just hoping that the money is keeping the push on, and hopefully it will come to pass in the years ahead that we all always have treatment plants all around Donegal as needed.
A row has broken out in today's Dáil sitting after an independent TD referred to a decision by Gardaí as like being something out of Nazi Germany. Tipperary's Matty McGrath was complaining about permission being denied by Gardaí for a taxi driver protest in Dublin tomorrow. The drivers planned to stay in their cars but were told the protest would be a breach of COVID restrictions. Deputy McGrath made this comment in the Dáil sitting.
Disgraceful. Are we going back to Nazi Hitler's time? What the hell is going on here? And we need to pull up Drew Harris.
I do would ask that Deputy McGrath would withdraw the remarks he made, and he should withdraw them, when he referred to Nazism and Hitler. I think that's a disgraceful and contemptible remark.
Stormont Justice Minister Naomi Long has agreed to meet with the Uma families to discuss their campaign for a public inquiry into the bombing 23 years ago. The issue was raised in the Assembly by West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossum, who asked the Minister via a video link whether she supported the campaign. Minister Long said her party supports a public inquiry, but as Justice Minister, she can't comment because there's an ongoing court case.
The families who put their lives on hold still await a much-needed public inquiry. Does the Minister agree with me that a public inquiry is absolutely necessary? And could she explain what conversations she has had with the Secretary of State, Brandon Lewis, in that regard?
It would not be appropriate for me as Justice Minister to comment further on the matter, given that I think it would be seen as prejudging the outcome of any inquiry and potentially prejudicial. It would be fair to say that when it comes to issues such as public inquiries and the wider legacy piece, I have many conversations with the Secretary of State. I get few answers that are worth repeating in the chamber, unfortunately.
Minister, will you commit post-lockdown, post-restrictions, to meet with the Uma families with me and give an assurance that you, in your capacity as Minister, will leave no stone unturned to assist the families on their search for truth and justice?
I would have no qualms whatsoever in agreeing to such a meeting and meeting with people who I feel have shown an incredible amount of restraint and dignity in their campaign, and I would be more than happy to meet with them and indeed with other victims. It of course has to be reiterated that I cannot interfere cases that go before the courts or that are before inquiries for fear of prejudicing the outcome, but I'm always more than happy where possible to meet with victims, and I would be happy to accede to any such request.
Minister Naomi Long and West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossum. Well, the forecast, it'll stay mainly dry this evening and it'll be feeling cool in moderate to fresh northeasterly winds. Wednesday night, we'll have a mix of long clear spells and well-scattered showers. Lowest overnight temperatures between -1 and +3 degrees Celsius. A slight grass frost forming. Winds light northerly or variable in direction. Tomorrow, it'll be cool with widespread showers. Cloud building throughout the morning as showers develop. Some with brighter spells. The showers will be heavy at times with a risk of hail and an isolated thunderstorm or two. Highest afternoon temperatures 8 to 10 degrees Celsius in light northerly or variable breezes. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Main story this evening, Arlene Foster says she will step down as the DUP leader on May 28th and will remain First Minister until the end of June. Ms Foster says serving the people of Northern Ireland was the privilege of her life. The Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, says Arlene Foster gave great service working with the executive battling the biggest health crisis in a generation. She says it's now a matter for the DUP to choose a replacement, but says the incoming DUP leader should recognise the political landscape on the island has changed. Ministers are meeting this evening to discuss how quickly the hospitality sector can reopen, with speculation that outdoor pubs could open as early as the last week in May. Announcements are due tomorrow. And 98 people tested positive for COVID-19 in Northern Ireland over the first 24 hours, with one more related death. We're back with news headlines at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday, the 28th of April. The death has taken place of Frank McBride, 24, Whitethorn Grove, Letterkenny, and formerly of Doe Point, Creasla. Funeral Mass in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, on Friday morning at 11, followed by burial in Doe Cemetery, Creasla. Mass can be viewed live on the Church of the Irish Martyrs Facebook page. Due to HSC and government guidelines, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 25 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or James Harkin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Paddy Diver, Carrow Moor, Glenealy. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Cooldaff, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 25 people permitted. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on churchmedia.tv/camera/Kildaff Parish. The death has taken place of Annie Brennan, née Kirk, 3 Riverside Terrace, Strabane, and formerly of Ballymagorry. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. No mass cards, please. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be strictly private to family only, please. Annie's Requiem Mass can be viewed live tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock via the Sacred Heart Church Derry Road webcam at churchservices.tv/Lickpatrick. The death has taken place in Birmingham, England, of Patrick Paddy McCall, Paddy John Owen, Stranarva Crawley and Birmingham, England. His remains will repose at his niece Madge McCall Doherty's residence in Stranarva Crawley from Friday evening. Funeral leaving Letterkenny at approximately 4 o'clock on Friday, travelling via the back of Errigal Road. Funeral Mass will take place on Sunday morning at 11 in St Patrick's Church, Mina Wheel, followed by burial in Dunlow Old Cemetery. Due to government and HSE guidelines, wake, funeral and burial will be private to family only, please, with a maximum of 25 people permitted. Rosary can be viewed on the Parish de Cuador Facebook page on Saturday evening at 7:30. Funeral Mass will be broadcast on Sunday morning at 11 on the Colm Gillespie Funeral Director Facebook page.